Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Hey, kids, welcome back to another episode of the North and South of Things. This is George in Atlanta, and I'm here with my good friend Mark in St. Paul.
Hi, George. You know what? This chair is hot.
It's about to get hotter, my friend.
I know. I am in the hot seat today.
We're titling this episode 20 Questions with Mark, and it's not the whole 20 questions, is it bigger than a bread box, guessing. It's just 20 questions. We're gonna interview Mark today. There may or may not be a similar episode for me later.
I'm sure there will be.
So we're going to ease into this. Your first 10 questions are actually from the Bernard Prevost, the Prevost questionnaire. So it's 10 questions that he was a host of a French series called Bouillon de Culture. I'm guessing that's culture soup. But it's more familiarly, more famously known here in the States with James Lipton's Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yes, a lovely show.
It is great. I have not seen it in a bit. So with that, we'll start. Mark, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word. Amazing.
All right, kids, and just know he has not been given any advance notice of these questions, just so you know. What is your least favorite word?
Racism.
Okay. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I'd have to say photography. I am a very visual person, and I love the gift of sight and being able to really see things.
I so thought you were going to say beer. What turns you off?
Smoking.
Mm, excellent. What is your favorite curse word?
Jesus H. Christ on a stick.
Love it. Jesus Christ on a cracker. Or just Christ on a cracker. That works here. What sound or noise do you love?
Oh, the laughter of babies and children.
Mm. Wow. What sound or noise do you hate?
The bass thumpity thump 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 in SUVs driving down the street.
I have to agree with you. That happens a lot here in the hip hop capital of the nation. I don't get it because it drowns out all the other sound.
It does. I just cannot imagine what is happening to their physiology.
Yeah,
being surrounded by that kind of. Abuse.
When you can feel it in your chest, two cars over, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to wonder what that's happening physiologically. It is interesting. I'd love dance music and have for some time. So I love, you know, love the beat, love the sounds. But when it gets to that real deep bass, yeah, I'm with you. That's kind of weird. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Artist.
What kind of artist?
I would have to say...
Visual or performing?
Visual.
And then what medium?
Painting.
And so like oils, acrylics, watercolor?
Watercolor.
Yeah. I actually have dabbled in that a little bit. It is interesting because you have more ability to correct mistakes.
Yes.
I need to keep, I keep a book by my bedside on watercolor painting and watch videos on YouTube every now and then. I just, you know, it's one of those things that you need to dive in and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't take that plunge enough. Sorry. Our last episode was on beer. And we record back-to-back episodes. So if you hear the occasional belching, you'll know what that's about. What profession would you not like to do?
Lawyer.
Really?
Yeah. I had a professor in college who was my theater professor, and he went on to go and get his law degree. And I just, I was able to kind of participate by acting as witnesses or clients to these student lawyers, which was a lot of fun. But I can't imagine, you know, presenting lawyer kinds of arguments. Just fall asleep.
Yeah, but you're pretty I mean, you're a well-reasoned person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that surprises me a little bit. I thought you were going to say, like, you know.
Well, either that or lobbyist.
Well, there you go. You've reached the bottom of the barrel, young man.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last of the Pivot questionnaire. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well, it's about bloody time.
I love it. I love it. I am such a big fan of that questionnaire. I think it's great. I think some of the questions obviously lead to short, quick answers, but it is really insightful in some ways about about a person. I think it's great. It's one of my favorite series of questions to ask people. The next 10 questions are my own. And some of them are not at all uncommon. So you may have actually answered these kinds of questions before. Number 11, which person or persons in history do you most admire?
Ah, that's a really good question. I really admired Tchaikovsky.
Okay.
And the reason for that is there was a lot of speculation about his sexuality. Tchaikovsky was a 19th century composer of classical music. He also composed ballets, and he was a tortured soul. And the style of music that he composed is called Romanticism. So there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of evocative, lyrical, beautiful music that came out of the man. Meanwhile, he battled his sexuality fiercely. And, it's come to light through history and through research that, yes, he was a homosexual. And he tried to do his best in what he did in the confines of the cultural landscape of the 19th century in Russia. And he was a tortured soul. And I know kind of the reason why I'm inspired by him is because his music meant a lot to me as I was coming to terms with my own sexuality. And I think one of my favorite pieces is his sixth and last symphony, number 6, often called the Pathétique. And it's just a moving, wonderful symphony. And I remember being on vacation with my parents, and I had this symphony, and I had it on my Walkman, and it was being played while I was on the beach watching the sunset and thinking about why I was having some of the feelings that I was having. So Tchaikovsky, definitely.
You related to that music when you were coming out. Was it because you knew of his troubled soul?
Yes, I knew of his, I think you know, as a young man, I was looking for role models to look at. So, you know, people like Tchaikovsky and, you know, Gertrude Stein and, you know, a myriad of other artists and poets and writers and scientists. And it was important for me to find role models that I could say, you know, they contributed.
Wow. And being very intentional about that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
What would be, and I don't listen to a ton of classical music, obviously. But I feel like I'm more familiar with Mozart and Beethoven and even some Rachmaninoff. What would be Tchaikovsky? Who did Swan Lake? Was that Tchaikovsky?
I believe so. He also did,
I'm trying to connect with what piece he, and the other thing is, you know, it's not beyond me to put on classical music at work or at home when I'm just working on a project that I need background noise but doesn't distract me from the actual work I'm doing. And so I find that I listen to a lot of classical music and I couldn't tell you. I mean, I know Mozart when I hear it pretty much, and Beethoven, and certainly Rachmaninoff. But beyond that, I have a real difficult time. I would be hard-pressed to be blindfolded and say, who is this?
Well, yes, Swan Lake was one of his, along with others you might have heard, the Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The 1812 Overture.
It's all coming back to me now.
It's all coming back.
Thank you.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. The 1812 Overture. Yes, definitely. Okay, now I don't feel quite as stupid, but a little bit. But a little bit. Baryshnikov, Tchaikovsky, they're all the same. All right, next question, number 12. If you could live in any other country other than the United States, where would that be and why?
Oh, wow. I have to pick just one?
Yes, that is correct. Oh, and by the way, you can't come back to the U.S. afterward.
I think I would pick Germany.
This goes back to the beer, doesn't it?
Well, it goes back to the beer. It also goes back to my family history. I am from that land. And I have visited on a couple of occasions and have felt it to be comfortable to me. If I wanted to pick a place that was outside my comfort zone, I would probably pick India.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. I think India would be fascinating to visit. I'm not sure I could pick actually living there.
that's kind of why I chose Germany, if I had to live there.
And my opinion might be colored too much by Raj on the Big Bang Theory, but that's awful. That is awful. I'm sorry, kids. All right. Number 13. It's a scenario where you've just won $1 million. Sorry, excuse me, $100 million in the lottery.
Okay.
The money has been deposited in your account. You have full control over it. It's $100 million after taxes, if that matters.
Okay.
Please describe your next 24 hours in your life.
All right. I have $100 million in the bank. The next 24 hours, I would call my friends and discreetly tell them that I am going to be unavailable for a bit. And actually, I would kind of drop out to kind of not be in the limelight. And I think it would be fun to get on a plane and go find a French castle to buy. And
all right, so you've just taken 75 of that 100 million.
Not necessarily. Actually, if you go on the internet and put into Google castles for sale.
Mark, have you been researching castles for sale? Oh my god.
Well, you know, when the Powerball was at $1.2 billion, I may have entertained some fantasies.
I love it. I love that this question is not that out in left field for you.
No, it's not.
I love it. All right. Surely that's not taking up the whole 24 hours. What else?
Yeah. I would basically start, you know, setting things up where I can create a life that is basically based on learning and art. And I would definitely like to take care of some members of my family. And, you know, I have a gay nephew that I would just love to see him have the resources available to, you know, have that college experience, you know, get educated and see what kind of life he might make for himself.
It really does make the difference, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not just a degree that opens up opportunity, which, by the way, it seems like the college degree is the new high school diploma.
It is.
But it's honestly not. It's not the degree. It's the experience of college, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's having that kind of. I know I fell in love with learning. And it wasn't until I was in college that I really kind of developed some of the critical thinking skills that I have now. And I think that's so important in 21st century modern life.
Did you go to a liberal arts college?
I did. Yeah. I went to the University of Minnesota and I attended the College of Liberal Arts.
I have to say... You can't come. I did as well. I went to a small college that was actually a branch of the University of Virginia legally, but its own entity. It didn't attempt to be UVA. It was at that time called Clinch Valley College. It has since been renamed the University of Virginia's College of Wise. You know, tough call. something easy you can remember. And you do leave a liberal arts education wanting to learn for the rest of your life. And I'm thirsty in different ways. I find the older I get, the more thirsty I am for history and understanding. And I just, at times I beat myself up for not wanting to know that earlier. But at least I've been left with the curiosity, you know, later in life. That would be an amazing gift for your nephew.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question. Which piece of technology can you absolutely not live without? We are not counting running water or electricity. Just so you know, that's not technology.
Technology that I can't live without. The internet has been so important in the last 30 years. I don't think I could live without it.
This is question 14B on that question. There are advocates who feel like based on security, based on the overwhelming population of internet trolls, based on computer viruses, there are advocates, you don't hear as much about it today as you did years ago, but there are advocates who think we should just start over with the internet. The whole architecture should be different to kind of eliminate those possibilities and those issues. What do you think about that?
I'm not so sure you can put the genie back in the bottle. I understand the points that some of these people have made. And, you know, I think some of them are valid. There's a gentleman by the name of, I think his name is Donald Rushkoff, who has been
is he a ballet dancer?
No, he is not. But he's been a media critic. And specifically about the internet. And, he brings to light a lot of, you know, kind of an underbelly of the internet. And yep. I'm not just talking about the trolls and, you know, terrorism.
Oh, there's also the child pornography, you know, that kind of stuff.
What I'm talking about is companies using this technology to market and influence us without our knowledge.
Oh.
I was at a party last night and I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me about, because he's changed jobs and now he is dealing with paid search engine technology marketed specifically to car dealerships. And he was telling me about the back end of Facebook and how companies can literally drill down, because they know who you are, where you are, what you like, what you don't like, you know, and they're using these technologies to market to us. And we all know, you know, back in, I think, the 60s and 70s with subliminal messaging that was in advertising.
Right.
Here we have kind of that next step. And it's really kind of spooky.
Even this season of House of Cards refers to a privately owned web search engine that the owner of the data that people use this particular, it's a fictional search engine, I think. But the owner uses the aggregated data to help his political favorite candidate, and there are some troubling issues. There are some troubling concerns, and I agree. I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle. And then even if you do, the state of trust in the government, that's not going to make anybody feel any more comfortable. We talking about that topic in a future episode.
Absolutely.
All right, number 15. You are stranded on the proverbial stranded on the island question. You are stranded on an island. You can only have one printed book and one album. The assumption is you have some means to play that album for a prolonged period of time.
All right, one printed book would be the collected works of Shakespeare.
Cheater.
Hey, you said.
Right, no, that's good. That's good. You're right. You're right. Well, I probably would not enjoy that, but I totally get that answer. Yeah.
As far as album is concerned, wow. This is hard because you know me, and I love music, and I love so much music. If I had one album and one album only.
Think about where you are and what you're feeling about where you are, too. That is a rough question.
I want to say, is it Coltrane's Kind of Blue?
I am not familiar with Mr. Is it John Coltrane? Let's see. We're Googling, kids. Coltrane.
Kind of Blue.
Okay.
By John Coltrane.
All right. Why?
Because I think that period of jazz you can listen to it so many different ways and look at it in different lights.
So it might be hope when you need hope, comfort when you need comfort.
Because it's jazz and blues, and who wouldn't be blue?
Yeah.
Being stranded on a desert island.
Yeah. But who wouldn't enjoy those sunsets? with a belly full of fish that you finally figured out how to catch, and a fire you finally figured out how to start.
Is there and, rum?
And the rum you learned how to ferment. All right, number 16. Other than a blood relative, who's been the most influential person in your life?
Other than a blood relative, who has been most influential?
Influential.
I would have to say one of my professors, Harvey Sarles. And he was an older professor. I think he was, at the time that I was there, I think he was well into his 60s. And he was kind of instrumental because this was at a time where I was out to some of my friends, and he gave us an assignment. We had to create something that was important to us in an influential way. And it could be anything. It could be a paper. It could be pretty much the sky's the limit. And I think the year before I had this assignment, I went to Germany and I walked through a concentration camp. And I was taking photos of this. And it's a powerful experience. I think everybody on the planet should walk through a concentration camp because it puts man's inhumanity to man in a very different light.
Yeah.
And I remember being in Dachau, outside of Munich, and I was walking through this and I was quite emotional because here I was in a place where a very horrible thing had happened. And I was still dealing with my sexuality at the time. And I turned around and inside this case was a prisoner's uniform. And on that uniform was a number and a pink triangle.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was at that point where I said, that could have been me. And he made this assignment, and I did a collage of these photos that I had made, and I still have it around here somewhere. And I remember the experience that I had a year prior to that, and I really couldn't talk about it. I couldn't articulate that experience in any other way than dealing with this particular collage. And it was he who basically gave this assignment to kind of push our boundaries. So wow. I would have to say him.
Awesome. All right. We have four questions left in about less than 4 minutes. So feel free to abbreviate these, but we may choose to go over. What smell transports you back to a simpler time in your life?
The smell of lilacs.
Really?
Yeah. I loved them as a kid.
Wow. You had them in your yard?
We had them in the yard. You know, my grandparents had them on the property, yeah. And
awesome.
It's just a smell that always brings me back to a comforting, simpler time.
Awesome. All right, if you had the chance, you have the power to change one event in history. What would you change? And I think we might have just heard the answer to that already.
One event in history.
That's true. One event in history.
That's a tough question. I would have to, you know, based on the answer, you know, the rise of Hitler. Mm-hmm. Maybe that.
So you would nip that in the bud. Gotcha. Good choice. Here's question number 19. You have been granted a special power to bring one person back to life. Other than a blood relative, who would you choose?
One person. I think I'm going to go in with a recent person, Oliver Sacks.
I should know who Oliver Sacks is, but I don't.
He was a doctor, neuroscience. He kind of wrote some of the book. His character was based on the Robin Williams movie Awakenings. Was that it? Oh,
okay. I did not know. His name.
And he also he was brilliant, and he recently passed away, and he has written so many things. And he also was one of these tortured gay men who had to deal with so many things. And I'm really looking forward to reading his autobiography.
Very cool.
That was published not too long ago. But I would have to go with Oliver Sacks.
Very cool. All right, last question. It's a bit of a softball question, given the others. Number 20, if you could ask President Obama one question, what would that be?
What are you going to do next?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I love his presidency. Now, I'm not saying that I agreed with everything that he has ever done. However, I can see his restraint of not really letting it fly.
I think I would agree with that 100%. I think we all would do a couple things differently, but we also don't have the information he's operating with or the knowledge. But I'm also concerned about our need as citizens who lived under the Obama administration for 8 years. I feel like there's going to be a never-ending need to protect his legacy. There are people who are trying to rewrite history while he's still in office, you know. The simple fact is he inherited a clusterfuck under President Bush, an economic situation that was exacerbated by President Bush, but President Bush didn't create the housing collapse.
No,
he didn't create all the various things that caused that perfect storm. But he, and I'll give President Bush this, he did make an early attempt with the advice of his counsel to start the important act of the bailouts. And I'm not happy about the bailouts at all. I'm not happy that we had situations where there were banks too big to fail, but the simple fact is we did. And we were days away from a financial collapse of not just the American financial markets, but the world markets. You're talking run on banks. You're talking a full on blown depression again. Mm-hmm. And he started some very important steps in that, and President Obama continued that and had the hard work of defending it, you know, for 8 years. Mm-hmm. To say nothing of ending two wars. To say, you know, nothing of, and even he would go back and change what he said in campaign mode, because I firmly believe no president knows, no presidential candidate knows what a president does. I think the first thing you do when you're elected is you get advised as to, yeah, here's what's really going on. And I think once you really know what's going on and who's really pulling the strings and where the, you know, my biggest disappointment in President Obama is the fact that none of the Wall Street folks were prosecuted for some of the actions related to the market crash. Because while I don't think any of them were intentional about bringing the market to its knees, I think there was some very inappropriate things that happened, and I don't think he was successful in getting any of that to light. But it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, there is definitely some culpability there.
Well, kids, we're out of time. Mark, that was a very enlightening 20 questions.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it, and we thank you for listening, and we'll be in touch soon. Take care.
All right, you too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaffingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.